Well, good morning, Foundation family and visitors. If you will, please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. Thank you for another day of life. Thank you for how you are still working in this world for your name and for your glory, that your kingdom is continuing to grow. Father, we need your help this morning. Help us to understand your word. Help us to apply your word correctly to our lives. Father, help us to glorify you in our service to you. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the name above all names. Amen. Well, if you will, join me in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 as we continue our verse-by-verse study through this wonderful book. Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. The sermon entitled today is Obedience to God. Obedience to God. Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem, and more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all of the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. When they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet, here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Thaddeus rose up claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished. and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. So they took his advice. When they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and may we as his children listen to his word with open hearts and minds. May the Lord grant us ears to hear. In Acts, we find the growth of the early church. Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit descended and filled his disciples, and they faithfully and powerfully proclaimed the gospel. The early church was of one heart and soul, and they had everything in common. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers, and they made sure that the needs among them were all met. Last week in our study of Ananias and Sapphira, we were reminded of the holiness of God, as well as the seriousness of our sin, that we are to fear the Lord with all reverence and serve him, living for truth, faithfully proclaiming truth, living for the glory of God, for that is our chief end, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. We cannot glorify God and we cannot enjoy him forever if we are not faithfully obeying his commands. And that we are to live with great urgency. The early church had a great urgency to obey the Lord. For we know that heaven and hell are real, and that Christ comes again. He will judge. We are to live with urgency, because this minute you and I are alive by God's grace, and we are not promised the next 60 seconds. In today's verses, we will see once again the obedience of the early church. And walking through this book, I hope you've been encouraged. I hope you've been encouraged to see how obedient the early church was. That they saw the risen Savior and they obeyed his commands and they laid down their life as their Savior did for the kingdom of God. May we, by God's grace, remain focused on Jesus and his kingdom as they did. Let us learn from these verses today. And point number one, we find in verses 12 through 16, multitudes were saved. Multitudes were saved. Verse 12, now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. The death of Ananias and Sapphira caused great fear upon the church as well as outsiders. For the scripture says, great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard. God's judgment should be taken seriously by all. And when humanity is reminded of God's holiness, examination should occur. And when examination occurs in the lives of God's children, we should be following that examination with reverent and careful obedience. With reverent and careful obedience. The holiness of God is not just a truth to hold. It is not just a truth to believe, but it is an application to apply. That God's holiness, when placed next to our sinfulness, should bring about reverence in the lives of us, in the lives of God's children. There should be reverence in our lives because we understand the holiness of God. Great fear existed, and the church marched forward. Many signs and wonders were happening at the hands of the apostles. The Holy Spirit was working and authenticating the gospel message with the healing of many. Verse 13 is very telling. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Solomon's portico was where Peter preached, and many were annoyed. Solomon's portico was also the location where Peter and John were arrested following the healing of the lame man. It seems that the arrest of Peter and John, as well as what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, caused fear among many. They praised the apostles, but they did not associate with them or the church. They were unbelievers who respected the church but feared the persecution of man. All throughout history, and even today, you find fans or admirers who are not followers. You find fans or admirers of Jesus, but not followers. Although some separated themselves, the Lord was growing his church. Look with me at verse 14. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Multitudes believed. Multitudes were added to the kingdom of God, both men and women. The sick were being carried out into the street and laid on cots and mats for healing, thinking maybe the shadow of Peter would even fall on them and heal them. People who were sick or burdened with unclean spirits were even being carried to the apostles from other towns around Jerusalem. News was spreading of the signs and wonders, but it was not just the signs and the wonders. It was the spreading of the good news of Jesus Christ. It was the spreading of the gospel. Power was on display in the early church. Signs and wonders were being done among the apostles in those days. And these verses seem to imply that many had faith in God for healing. And the result was that the shadow of Peter healed. This should remind us of Jesus and the woman who touched his garment out of Luke chapter 8. In Luke 8, we find these words. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surrounded you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive the power has gone out from me." When the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." You see, the Lord was growing his church through the apostles. The Lord was growing his church as the church was faithful to go and to spread the good news. As they were faithful because they were clothed with power from on high to go and to be witnesses into all the world. And it's highly important to note here that these signs and wonders were not why the church went, nor why the church grew. These signs and wonders were happening at the hand of the apostles at the start of the early church for the purpose of authentication. The church went to proclaim the good news of Jesus. The church grew because the gospel was shared. The signs and wonders occurred because God's people were faithful to obey, and the Lord chose to reveal to the crowds that these were his people, and this was his message. The context. This was the early church, and these signs and wonders occurred through the apostles. The prayers of the early church were being answered. If you'll look back with me at Acts chapter 4, verses 29 and 30, this was their prayer. They said, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed in the name of your holy servant, Jesus." As they were charged not to speak any more in the name of Jesus, they prayed that they would continue to speak in the name of Jesus. As they prayed this prayer, the ground shook. And as they faithfully went, they feared the Lord. They did not fear man. The Lord grew his church. The early church obeyed the commands of God. As God's children today, we must not seek the signs and the wonders, but we must seek obedience to the Lord as the early church did. I long, as you do, for this local body here in Euless to grow by multitudes. I long to see an outpouring of the Spirit and see a great number of men, women, and children come to Christ. But I am not sure if this will ever happen. I am not a prophet. I do not know what the Lord will do here in this church or here in this surrounding area. But what I am sure of is that as the church, as the bride of Christ, as those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, we are called to remain faithful to the commands of God. For there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. This early church did not seek an experience. They were not obsessed with signs and wonders. They lived to obey the Lord and march forward proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, even while being persecuted. What a model. Albert Mohler's words on this passage need to be heard again and again. The church is not built on marketing strategies or pragmatic advertisement schemes or feel-good programs. The church is built on the power of God's Word and Spirit. What you saw were the commands of God given to the church. And in the church, listen to the commands of God. They obeyed the commands of God. They did not veer to the left or veer to the right. They did not see what the culture was doing. They went forward and proclaimed the word of God, and the Lord saved souls and added to the number day by day those who were being saved. Now, 2,000 years later, many, we have forgotten this. This is what we are called to do as the church. We do not need to reinvent the wheel. We do not need all these different strategies on how to reach a certain generation or a certain people group. We need to go and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, and the Lord will save. This is a call for us as a church to obey. Let us be men and women who are content in Christ and what he has given us and grow in obedience to his commands. Sometimes the church acts like we need something else. We need nothing else. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. We have been clothed with power. Let us go forward in obedience. Let us have compassion on all, proclaiming the good news of Jesus, calling all not to delay, but to repent, to come to Christ with urgency, that there is healing found in the blood of Jesus. Just as many brought those that they loved to the apostles for physical healing from the surrounding towns. I mean, think about that. They didn't have cars. They worked hard and diligent in bringing those around the towns to the apostles for physical healing. Let us love all and tell as many as we can about the love of Christ that saves sinners. Let us work hard in proclaiming the gospel, to live with compassion and urgency, longing to see others saved. Point number two, we find in verses 17 through 32, obedience to God above all. Obedience to God above all. Verse 17 and 18. But the high priest rose up and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. The Sadducee leaders did not stand idle for long. As the church marched forward, jealousy came along with persecution. The growth of the church threatened the political power of the Sadducees. The good news that was spreading went against what the Sadducees believed, for they did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in heaven. They did not believe in hell, and they did not believe in angels. The apostles were arrested, but God had other plans. Verse 19. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. During the night, the Lord sent an angel to open the doors of the public prison to release them and to instruct them. The Lord loves his children. And we see this in this specific encounter. He frees them not to escape and to leave town, but to stay and continue in the preaching of the word of God and the preaching of new life in Christ, the very reason that they were arrested. Now, the Lord doesn't always release his children from persecution or suffering. However, he does work all things according to his will and for the good of those who love him. Verse 20 informs us for the reason of the release, the reason that the angel came. Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. In other words, you've been arrested and imprisoned because you're speaking the words of life. I am releasing you from prison. I have been sent by God to release you from prison so that when you get out, you will continue to speak the words of life. The message of this life, the words of this life, are the words of Jesus Christ. We are to speak the words of salvation, that the good news is that Jesus Christ saves sinners. This is our calling as the church. We have been cleansed by the blood of Christ, and we are to call others to come to Christ. We inform all that they have all fallen short. They were conceived in sin, separated from a holy God. That the law of God is written on their hearts. We use the law. We inform them that they need to hear that they have lied, that they have worshipped false gods, they have worshipped false idols. Indeed, they are guilty. They must hear the bad news, but the good news must also be shared. That God provided salvation in his Son, Jesus Christ. That Jesus came from heaven to earth, born of a virgin. He lived a perfect and sinless life. He proved to be God. He taught that he was God. He lived a life that was sinless. And he was murdered. He died on the cross. 3 days later, he is risen. He is Lord. And we are to call people to repent and to believe, because after 40 days, he ascended into heaven. And he has all power and all authority, and he is coming again to judge the church. Has been commissioned to go and to share the good news. Jesus came and paid for sin, but your sin is to be removed. And the only way that your sin can be removed is if you repent and believe that salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. For Jesus, in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. An angel of the Lord was sent so God's children would continue to preach. In verses 21 through 32, we find the response of all. When they had heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council and all the senate of the people of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." And when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. The apostles were released so that they would continue to teach. It was the next day, the council called for the apostles to come before them, but they were nowhere to be found in the prison. The prison was securely locked. The guards were standing at the doors, but the apostles, they were not inside. As the council stood perplexed, they received word that the men that they were looking for were standing in the temple teaching. They hadn't fled. They remained devoted to the gospel. And someone came and told them, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." And the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charge you not to teach in this name. Yet, here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." So the captain of the temple guard, along with the officers, went and retrieved the apostles peacefully as they were teaching and brought them before the council. They did not harm the apostles, for they themselves were afraid of the crowds stoning them. For the crowds were amazed at what the apostles had taught and what the apostles were doing. The council declared, "We strictly charge you not to teach in this name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching." In a nutshell, apostles, you're not listening to us. You are not listening to us. The name of Jesus is still protruding from your lips. Stop. Stop speaking. Stop teaching about Jesus. We can sit here as a local body. And as your pastor, I could say, may that never be so. But there are many local bodies who have stopped teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus. There are many who have embraced the pragmatism and the warnings of men and stopped teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus. Church family, we must never do this. We must continue to preach and teach in the name of Jesus, for this, what we are experiencing now, this is not our forever life and home. We are pilgrims. We are marching through, and the Lord, He has clothed us. The Lord is in us. The name of Jesus was still protruding from their lips. They had been arrested multiple times, and yet they continued to teach in the name of Jesus. Then the disciples, the apostles, were very straightforward. They said, "You are guilty of filling Jerusalem with his name and his teaching." Praise the Lord. May we be guilty of spreading the name of Jesus and filling Euless and Hearst and North Richland Hills and Bedford with the name of Jesus. May that be true of us. The apostles were obedient to the words of Christ, and they were disobedient to the words of men. The council went on to say, "You intend to bring this man's blood upon us." These high priests remembered the words of Peter from Acts chapter 2, verse 23. In Acts 2:23, Peter said, "This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. This crowd was basically saying, this council was saying to the apostles, we remember you saying that we are guilty for crucifying and killing Jesus. We remember you saying that we are lawless men. We have charged you, stop teaching in the name of Jesus. Listen to us. Peter and the apostles answer them. In verse 29, these words that were uttered by Peter and the apostles, they are remembered from generation to generation. We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. This response was similar to how Peter responded when he was first charged back in Acts chapter 4. Peter said, whether it is right or right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak what we have seen and heard. And here, Peter and the apostles declared, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. We must obey God. He is our authority. He is divine. You have no authority over us when it contradicts a divine God who has commissioned us. The God of our fathers, the one true living God, he raised Jesus, the one you killed by hanging him on a tree. The one you killed, he has been raised. He is alive. I don't care if you don't believe in the resurrection. He has been raised from the dead. Jesus Christ has been exalted, and he is at the right hand of God. He is leader or prince and savior. Jesus is primary because Jesus Christ is God. We cannot stop teaching in his name. Rejection of Jesus is rejection of God. All of this happened to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And because of this, the apostles informed the council that we cannot stop. We are witnesses to these truths, and so is the Holy Spirit. We cannot stop. And the Holy Spirit has been given to those who obey him. Salvation does not occur. The Holy Spirit does not come unless repentance and belief occurs. The apostles did not back down. They marched forward with the offensive words of, you are guilty. You killed the Messiah. He has been raised. Salvation is possible. Therefore, we cannot remain silent. The Holy Spirit has come, and we are witnesses. We are marching forward. We cannot stop talking about our Savior. We cannot stop talking about Jesus. God's kingdom cannot be stopped. His plans cannot be thwarted by mankind. They cannot be thwarted by you. But don't miss this. These apostles were not marching forward in their own strength. These apostles said what they said. These apostles did what they did because they were clothed with the Holy Spirit. This was the power of God at work in them. And when the church today goes forward and marches forward with the gospel and proclaims the word of God, the same will be true of the church today. Obedience to God was not just a priority for them. It was their top priority. Obedience to God, above all, was their proclamation. They loved the Lord. They loved the audience. They desired all that they spoke to repent and to believe and to escape the judgment that was coming. We must ask ourselves, is this our proclamation? Is this our priority? Is the gospel top priority in our life? Are the commands of God really important to us? We must obey God rather than men. Point number three, in verses 33 through 42, we find rejoicing and suffering. Rejoicing and suffering. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all the people, he stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you're about to do with these men. For before these days, Thaddeus rose up claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas, the Galilean, rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." Once again, at the proclamation of truth, we see that God's people are hated. The leaders who knew the Old Testament scriptures rejected the truth. They rejected the gospel. They rejected Jesus. Therefore, they rejected God. Isn't it interesting? When truth is proclaimed, many of the people who reject it are religious leaders. At the words of truth, they wanted to kill the apostles whom God had sent. Gamaliel, a respected man, the one who taught the apostle Paul and formed the council to be wise with what they do. He had the apostles dismissed for a brief time to speak to the council in private. He reminds him of history. He reminds him of two men whom they knew. Two men who led groups that died out. His wisdom, leave these men alone right now. If this is a man, it will fail. If this is of God, it will not stop. And you could even be found out opposing the one true God. He was half right, and that God and his will cannot be stopped. But currently in this life, false doctrines and false churches, they are very successful. They will ultimately fail in the end because these false kingdoms will perish. And the one true kingdom will forever stand. But they will succeed in ushering many people into hell. The words of R.C. Sproul are valuable here. He said, "I wish Gamaliel would have said, 'Why don't you examine the message of these men? Because it might be true. If it is true, you are enemies of God.' If only this were true in every circumstance. If people wouldn't flat out reject what was said, but if people would go back and examine to see if what was said was actually true. If only men, women, and children would examine the scriptures and see if Jesus were true." But this is why the Lord has commissioned the church to go and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ so that people can and will be saved. The council kind of listens to the advice. Verses 39 through 42. So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They released the apostles, but they beat them. Most likely this beating was 39 lashes. They beat each of them, charged them once again to stop speaking in the name of Jesus. But what did the scriptures say? The apostles took the beating and they left the council joyful. Once again, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. The apostles did not leave upset that they had been hurt and ready to stop spreading the news of Jesus. The apostles were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus Christ. The early church, they did not stop. The early church continued in obedience to the commands of God. Men kept coming and coming and coming. Men kept saying, "You are annoying me." The church kept getting persecuted. The Lord kept working because the church was obedient to the Lord. The church feared God. They did not fear man. They did not stop. The early church continued in obedience to the commands of God. It says, every day in the temple and from house to house, they preached Jesus as the Christ. I must ask you, is this your devotion? Yes, this is the historical narrative of the early church. And today, in 2020, in the month of April, we are a local church in the city of Euless. Is this your devotion? Are the commands of the Lord your greatest priority? Examine yourself. Are the commands of the Lord your greatest priority? And if not, what is your greatest priority? What have you elevated above God? What are your false idols? If we desire to see multitudes saved, we must be obedient children. I don't know of a single Christian who would say, "I don't want to see people saved. I don't want to see large crowds saved." But if we, the church, want to see multitudes saved, we must be obedient children and go and proclaim the gospel. The church is the vessel in which God is using to share the good news. We need to continue in talking with people. Who do you need to share with? Who do you need to continue to share with? Who do you need to keep pressing and going deeper into the things of God with? Who do you need to call to repent? Who do you need to command and say, in God's word, the Lord has commanded you to repent and believe. Come to Christ, confess your sins, and believe upon Christ for salvation, and you will be saved. And in times of suffering like the early church, can you rejoice? Can you rejoice in times of suffering and glorify the Lord and see your faith increase in the one true living God? The children of the Lord, they obey the Lord. There is contentment and joy to be found in living for the Lord. The end of that chapter, they rejoiced, they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. Talk about the early church being joyful, satisfied, content, hungry to obey the commands of the Lord. Is this you? Is this us? Father, we thank you right now for the sending of your Son. Father, we are so thankful that you provided payment for our sin. Father, we're so thankful for the sending of the Holy Spirit to clothe us with power from on high to go and to be witnesses of the good news of Jesus. We are so thankful that you allowed us to be involved, not only as your child and to be adopted, but to be involved in your mission of saving people from every tribe, tongue, nation, and people. Father, you are so good. Father, help us to be obedient. Holy Spirit, grow us in our understanding of the commands of the Lord. Holy Spirit, convict us of our sins that we would repent and draw us more and more into obedience as we abide in the Word. Father, I pray right now for those who are lost, Lord, that they would be convicted of their sins right now and that you would save them by your grace. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I pray that we would take this passage this week. We would glorify the Lord. We would go forward with boldness and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ that saves sinners. We would proclaim the gospel that has saved us. Our closing blessing for the week is found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.